The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Joined by my co-host today, Joey Ikes. We had some comments come out from the owner meetings we wanted to touch on and then get into kind of the draft strategy that we could see this team going into in the 2024 NFL draft. I know we've talked a lot about, you know, left tackle and center being the two positions that we feel like are going to be heavily targeted in the first round of this draft and early in the draft. But I wanted to kind of give it a different angle and talk about maybe a look towards the future for this team, starting with the 2024 NFL draft. Before we get started, Joey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. It's been a crazy week, 5 days, on the internet, but it's fun to be getting back to talking about the draft. You know, about a month out, we're ready to go.
We'll get into your thread that you made on Twitter, probably either just after the draft or maybe depending on what comes out over these next few weeks. I want to dive into that a little deeper with you. But I want to talk a little bit about the version of this draft we haven't heard a lot about. Some of the comments coming out of the owners' meetings here, Jerry and Steven talk, which is always a roller coaster of a ride. I want to propose an idea. You know, again, we've talked so much about left tackle. We've talked so much about, you know, center. Is there a chance that this team, and we've heard a little whisper here, but is there a chance that this team goes, hey, we're not really looking to compete in 2024. You know, we could be in a very different situation in 2025. So maybe we'll give TJ Bass and Brock Hoffman the reins and go, hey, we're going to figure out if these guys can be our future going forward. Maybe we add a Brian Thomas Jr. with the 24th overall pick to pair with CeeDee Lamb and have our wide receiver duo moving forward for these next 5 to 7 years. Maybe we add we're not going to be able to re-sign Oso Odighizuwa, so we add a Byron Murphy or a Jerzon Newton. So I kind of wanted to spin it a little different direction than what's being talked about. Like, could they be set up to not draft these positions of need that they've kind of created themselves into and then go, hey, this draft's going to be for 2025 and beyond, not so much for the 2024 needs on this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is definitely something to that. There is definitely the possibility that something like that could happen. I do think that there is there's something about the idea that if this is, call it a soft rebuild, call it a hard reset, whatever you want to call it, there is something to the idea that maybe offensive line is the right place to go going into that sort of action. I mean, you think about 2011, right? We think of 2011 through 2013, those years as essentially rebuilding years, coming off of the 07 to 09 stretch, you know, 2010 craters. They kind of rebuild 2011 through 2013, and then come out of that in 2014, and they've pretty much been contenders almost every year since then. You know, they've had some down years because of injury and stuff, but if they take that approach, I mean, they took Tyron Smith in the first round of 2011, and then Travis Frederick in the first round of 2013. So a lot of times when you rebuild, offensive line is one of the places that you take because you're going to get typically a longer career out of those guys. And it's kind of the infrastructure of your team. So it's one of those interesting situations where the value of the players in the draft, the value of the position of current need, and the position of future need in terms of, hey, we're going to build this thing for the future, lines up really well on the offensive line for the same conversations we've had with the same players we've had several times before. But I do think.
Let me ask you this with this question. Like, and again, we're going back a long ways with the Tyron Smith, but do we feel like, and me and you kind of roll our eyes at when this comes into play, but like they do have a lot of young offensive linemen on this roster. Brock Hoffman, TJ Bass, Asim Richards, Matt Waletzko. Like, do they feel like we got this youth movement of offensive linemen? Maybe we won't aggressively target the offensive line and move. You know, like we've talked about offensive line, we've talked about linebacker. They got a lot of young guys at linebacker too, a lot of them unproven. But if they're kind of going into 2024, maybe they go, we don't have those young receivers. We don't have those young defensive linemen on the roster. You know, they got Mozzie Smith, but behind Mozzie Smith, there's not really any young upcoming talent. You know, Deron Bland's here. They pay Trayvon Diggs, you know, safety. Like, I'm just kind of looking at it. Edge is another one that I'm curious on. Like, there's some of these positions that we haven't spent a lot of time on and attention on that don't have that youth depth behind them, even though we probably don't think that the depth's good enough to believe in. But I kind of rolled my eyes at the whole rebuild and reset 2024 thing. But man, like, with them not touching Dak's contract and pretty much coming out and admitting to the media now that like we probably aren't going to do it, I almost just wonder if they're like, yeah, we don't really care what happens in 2024. This is 2025 and so on, you know, soft rebuild, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a very strong possibility that that's what we're looking at here. And you know, that's not the end of the world in terms of what a team can do. Is it what I would do? Is it what I think they should do? No. But I think it definitely has the possibility to lead into something good. Whenever we get on the other side of this thing, for sure. And the question that hangs over all that is the Dak thing, of course, the quarterback question.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, I just, like I said, it's just, we've just spent, you know, we spent so much time talking about offensive line, running back, linebacker, you know, and we haven't spent a lot of time talking about defensive end, even though that, I mean, that defensive end is a huge issue for this team right now. Like, they have 2.5 pass rushers on their football team. And again, like, we love DeMarcus Lawrence, but he's not a guy who's just going to wreak havoc on quarterbacks. Like, he creates pressure, he creates a little bit of chaos, but like, he's not going to be a 10 to 15 sack guy a year. Like, you have one of those guys on your team, you have DeMarcus Lawrence, who's a really good all around edge, and then that's about it. Like, Sam Williams have shown flashes, but those flashes have been rare, and there's been a lot of negative flashes with that too, with penalties and, you know, maybe being out of position at times. So it's just, like I said, defensive end's an interesting one. Like, I wonder if they could, you know, if a Jared Verse or Leatu falls to them to 24, like, do they take defensive end? And while the fan base, you know, freaks out and goes, well, what are we gonna do at offensive line? Maybe they go, we got these young guys. We're gonna give them a shot because 2024 isn't our vision here. It's moving on. And, you know, maybe in 2025 they go after the offensive line if Brock Hoffman or TJ Bass or Tyler Smith proves they're not ready to take over those positions that they're kind of slotted into right now.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, I definitely think that if you're approaching this from a soft rebuild type standpoint, it definitely opens up the positions that become options in the first round. I think something like a defensive tackle or an edge rusher or something like that definitely becomes more palatable, more likely in a world where essentially 2024 is a burn it year kind of. Those positions where it's going to take a year or maybe more to transition to high-level play at the NFL level, but where it's really hard to find somebody outside of the first round who's going to be really good. The edge position, the defensive tackle positions, places like that, where rookie production from those spots is rare. But if you want production at all over the course of a career or high-level production, you almost have to spend a high draft pick on one to get one. I think that makes sense for sure.
It almost feels like this point in the offseason that they've like determined, you know, what things are going to cost and what they will and won't do in 2025, as far as contracts go. And like, they're trying to see how many, like, this is like a trial and error year for them. Like, we got to see if any of these offensive linemen can play. Like, I mean, I know they brought in Eric Kendricks, but you know, that was with LVE retiring, but like, we have to determine if DeMarvion Overshown and Damone Clark and, you know, if either one of those guys can be starters, and Junior Fajoko. Like, it seems like they haven't done what they, and that's what we talked about here a few weeks ago. Like, they didn't do what they normally do, which is retain some of their older veteran, you know, in-house free agents and then fill holes with some of those cheaper, older, on their way out veterans. Like, they only did that with Eric Kendricks, which kind of got my wheel spinning a little bit. And what we've heard, it just seems like it truly feels like they're going into 2024 as a trial and error year to see what they have in these young guys at some of these positions of need, and then setting their pocketbooks up for maybe, you know, a CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, see what happens with Dak. And then you could be in a situation where you're moving on from guys like Osa Odighizuwa, you know, in a year or two. And, you know, we'll see what happens with De'Ron Bland, you know, in a year or two. I mean, it's going to be tough for them to pay two corners, you know, near the top of the market setting money with Michael Parsons, CeeDee Lamb. It shouldn't be tough, but we know that we're going to get that excuse when De'Ron Bland, you know, contract extension starts coming into play.
Yep, absolutely. And that's kind of the hard thing about taking this idea of this hard reset, is that you do have several of, even though some of these guys are getting into the point where they're on veteran contracts, some of these guys, you know, the De'Ron Blands, the Tyler Smiths, Michael Parsons is still on a rookie contract, you know, like, you're still getting contribution from several guys. Osa Odighizuwa is on a rookie contract, you know, you're still getting contributions from a lot of guys who are on rookie contracts that if you push this 2 or 3 years, you are either trying to replace all of those guys with the same level or better players on rookie contracts, or all of that contribution becomes more expensive. And that is a tough thing to manage, especially when you're operating on some type of a budget.
And let me say, like, I'm with you. Like, I wouldn't do this approach. Like, I don't think this is the right way to go, with especially how I feel like close we thought this team was last year, and maybe the playoffs proved that we weren't quite right. I think it was I'm not saying it was a total fluke that they got blown out by the Green Bay Packers, because I think there was a lot of, you know, writing on the wall that was possible. But this is what good teams do, good front office do, is they go into the draft and, you know, and again, it's not always with the top 100 pick, but like they add, I was talking about it today, but like the Rams add Kobe Turner knowing that Aaron Donald's probably not going to be around much longer. So when Aaron Donald decides to not be around, you have somebody that can kind of step in and not replace Aaron Donald, but he's going to make that loss feel a little bit, lesser than it could if you didn't weren't prepared for it. And that's something that Dallas hasn't really done a good job of here recently. They're kind of up against it right now with the CeeDee Lamb stuff. Like if they were thinking about moving on from CeeDee Lamb, they couldn't because they don't have options. Maybe that, maybe drafting a Brian Thomas or, a Ladd McConkey or something like that at the end of the first round, they go, we're not going to pay CeeDee Lamb $35 million a year. We'll play these guys. Not saying that's what I would do, but I'm saying sometimes the good teams that make those decisions, they kind of hedge their bets and they have, some ammo in the chamber to where they don't have to feel like, okay, if this person leaves, we're absolutely screwed.
Yeah, I think you're right in that the hard thing is that, this conversation is going to be had 100 times over the next 11 months. It all comes back to the quarterback question, because if you're going to have Dak Prescott on your team 2025 and beyond, it makes no sense to reset this team. Like to hard reset it, like we're talking about. But if the plan is we're not going to have Dak Prescott on this team, they almost have to hard reset it. Like you almost have to really hard reset
Yeah,
because you.
trade some Micah, trade CD, like.
Right. Because by the time, nobody wants to talk about the fact that like DeMarcus Ware came into the league in what, 05 was the draft that he came into?
Yes, I want to say you are. I looked this up the other day, and it was
Yeah.
either.
So. He went to Denver in 2013, 2014. He was only in Dallas for 7, 8 years, something like that.
Right.
And the last couple of years, everybody was talking about how he was hurt all the time and couldn't play and all that kind of stuff. You only have probably 4 more years of Micah Parsons being Micah Parsons. And you probably only have maybe that amount of time, maybe another year or so on top of that of CeeDee Lamb being who CeeDee Lamb is.
And that's
So
the first.
if you're going to toss 1 year into the trash can in 2024 and you're going to go into the quarterback wilderness in 2025, that's 2 of those 5, 6, 7 years or 4 or 5 years we're talking about.
Yeah.
So you're tossing half of the prime of CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons' career into the trash can essentially. By taking the 24 and 25 seasons and washing them away. So it really all comes back to the quarterback question. They seem very confident they'll be able to keep Dak Prescott from getting to the market. Maybe that means that next year, when they have less cash commitments in on the roster already, they will be willing to just essentially give Dak whatever he wants, which is kind of what happened last time, to keep him. And maybe that works. And maybe Dak likes being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback enough that he doesn't care to get all the way to the market. But they are playing a very dangerous game with the quarterback that is then in turn playing a very dangerous game with the wide receiver and the defensive end and, the cornerbacks and all these other guys that, there's only 3 or 4 years left of with these star players, these main contributors, these guys you consider cornerstones. There's only a few years left of this group together at their highest level, and they seem to be getting ready to kind of toss that into the oblivion when there's a really good when the quarterback is in the prime of his career and it doesn't have to be this way. When they could have another 4 year run with Dak Prescott as the quarterback surrounded by these guys and have really good chances every year.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I was, that's what I was going to say is like, that's the frustrating thing about the way that they think is the right way to build the team is like, normally the year window is 3 to 4 years. Like, I mean, again, unless you have a Patrick Mahomes and an Andy Reid side by side, like, your window to do something special is normally a 3 to 4 year window with the core players that you're dealing with. Now, good front offices, good coaching staffs, good drafting teams can go out and build a new core to have that 3 or 4 window with, but just feels like for so long they've tried to say, we're building, for the future. It isn't a, right now type of game plan, but It seems like their thought process of building these 5 to 10 year, dynasties, it always falls short because it never works out that way. And then, like you said, like you're dealing with some of the best players that have ever played for your franchise, playing for your franchise for 7 to 8 years, and a couple injury years in there, and a couple of, quarterback getting hurt and the year not really meaning a whole lot. It turns that 7 or 8 year window to a 3 or 5 really quick.
Yeah, it's we just know enough about the league at this point to know that that's how this stuff goes. And even the dynasty, even the groups, even the dynasties, whatever, that have a longer run than that, it is not one consistent long run of that. It is three runs of 3 years that wind up with a break in between that last a year that, turns into a 12-year run or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, you saw the Mahomes team have the Mahomes Tyreek Hill super high powered offense run. They kind of came back down to earth for a year, wound up trading Tyreek Hill. Now they've had like the, hey, the offense is still pretty good when we need it to be because we have the best quarterback ever in the world and a really great tight end and all that kind of stuff. But we're winning with defense. And, that's on the second year of that run right now. And so, the team has to be willing to pivot and move, and but the thing that's going to be hard is this team is, like I said, they're either about to run the risk of the only way that they continue any success or that they maximize these, like you said, these great players' careers, is to get extremely lucky and hit the quarterback jackpot again, for the third time in a row in 20 years, or to re-sign the quarterback, and then that gives you the chance over the next 3 or 4 years. Because that's really what this is about, is this is about between now and about 2028, when most of these guys, when this roster will look like think about this roster compared to what the 2019 roster looked like, or the 2020 roster.
Right.
And think about how few guys there are left from that 2019 team that are still contributing in a meaningful way. It's very small. And we're looking at that for 2028, and so it's just they're in a very interesting place in a team build. And the thing that's hard is I don't know that they are all on the same page about where they're going.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. We're going a little short today. Like I said, we got a jam-packed day, so we're going a little short. That's all we have for today. We will be back next week on the Talk in the Draft podcast as we inch closer to the 2024 NFL draft. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about next week with more comments and concerns coming out. We appreciate everyone for listening. Thank you guys so much. We will be back next week on the Talk in the Draft podcast. See you then.